Every year at this time, we dip into the best American sports writing, the series Houghton Mifflin has been publishing since 1991. The 2011 edition's guest editor is Jane Levy, and the series editor, as has always been the case, is Glenn Stout, and he joins me now from Vermont Public Radio. Glenn, welcome back to Only a Game.
Thanks very much, Bill.
And we're also joined by Chris Jones of ESPN the magazine. His story, Breathless, is included in the current collection. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Chris, I want to begin with you and your story, Breathless, which is about Herbert Nitsch, an athlete with whom lots of our listeners may not be familiar. Tell us a little bit about what he does.
He is a free diver, which is essentially someone who, on a single breath, dives as deep as they can into the ocean. He's basically an insane man who believes he's part fish and part seal and believes that one day we'll dive 3,000 feet into the ocean. He's gone pretty far. He's gone more than 700 feet, but he thinks he can go deeper yet.
At one point in your story, when you needed a metaphor, you dialed up the NFL to describe the pressure on Herbert Nitsch when he made a record dive. You wrote, and I'm quoting here, "The equivalent of an NFL lineman was sitting on each of his eyeballs." Was the idea to invoke a sport everybody knew in order to discuss a sport that nobody knew?
I think you're probably giving me much more credit than I deserve there. I was trying to come up with a way of saying 300 pounds without saying 300 pounds. And I think probably my own biases, I thought of super chubby football players, and sometimes these things, when you're writing late at night, who knows where it comes from.
This edition of Best American Sports Writing also features stories about skateboarding, dog handling, jumping off mountains. Are we into the age of excellent writing about fringe sports, or at least sports that are fringe compared to football, baseball, and basketball?
I'll let Glenn go first there.
Yeah, I think we're in an era where there's so many excellent writers out there that in many instances, it doesn't matter what they write about. They're going to find something interesting in it and an interesting way to put it. And sports, it seems like there's nothing new. Well, in fact, there's everything new every year.
For me, it's never been the sport that matters, but the athlete or the character, the main character in your story. I mean, someone like Herbert does not exist, as far as I know, in the National Basketball Association, but he does exist at the bottom of the ocean off Greece, you know, and so these are the places we have to go. For me, it's always the character. It's like a movie. You know, I don't necessarily subscribe to a particular genre of movie, but if there's a good character involved, then I'm willing to watch.
I don't want to talk too much about this particular athlete, but this is a guy who's figured out how to get oxygen out of about 9 different parts of his body.
The spleen was what really got me.
Yeah, he gets oxygen out of his spleen.
Yeah, the spleen is his third lung. No, he's a very strange man. For me, the part of that story that still gives me the creeps a bit is the idea of wet equalization, that your ears are the greatest limiting factor in terms of how deep we can go. You know, if you go to the bottom of a swimming pool, you can feel the pressure on your ears. And for these free divers, when they're at hundreds and hundreds of feet down, the pressure is intense. And well, they've decided that maybe the most efficient way to combat that is to inhale water and pack it into your sinuses and your ears to offset the pressure on the outside. And Herbert's this sort of very clinical Austrian man. And I remember I said to him something like, "Well, that must feel like drowning." And he said, "Yes, it is very unpleasant." And that was for me the money quote of that whole experience.
That reminds me of a Best American Sports Writing story from many years ago where they asked this guy whose sport was lifting incredibly heavy rocks why he had failed. And his answer was, "The rock, she is very heavy."
I remember that one, Bill.
Sometimes it's a very simple answer.
Chris, you've written for Bill Simmons' Grantland, an online long-form sports magazine. I wonder if you foresee Grantland writers flooding Best American Sports Writing with candidates in the future.
Grantland's one of those great new outlets for sports writing. I think so often we've talked a lot about, you know, newspapers being in flux and are places willing to spend money to do these kinds of stories. And I'm not sure what Glenn would say, but for me it seems like I almost have too much to read these days, that there are so many outlets, that there are so many good writers that I can't possibly keep up. It used to be that I would go to Sports Illustrated or I would go to the New York Times and to get my fix of quality sports writing. And now it seems like there are a lot more venues than there used to be. And Grantland, I think we're all hopeful, is going to be one of those go-to places.
No, I'll agree, because there's just a real flowering of places where good writing can find a place to be right now. There's another site that just went up called The Classical, and there are other niche, you know, online sites that are presenting some very good writing, as well as, you know, some of the places where there's always been good writing. So, you know, it's not like I'm looking at less material or finding less material, you know. Either that or I'm reading a lot slower these days, but it seems to take more and more time each year now.
There is also a lot of bad writing out there. I think Glenn deserves some kind of medal for having to wade through what I can only imagine is a lot of poor material. For me, it's like there's this deluge of stuff, and some of it is really, really good, and some of it is really, really bad.
That's what my wood stove is for.
The hopes of so many writers going up in smoke in Vermont. It's a beautiful picture.
There has been much to write about regarding the Los Angeles Dodgers recently, and in one story, Bill Shaken of the L.A. Times focused on a man named Vladimir Špunt, who was hired by the co-owners of the team when they were still married to each other. Glenn, tell me about the appeal of that story.
Well, the appeal of that story was its utter and total weirdness, and what it told you about this couple, the McCourts, who owned the Dodgers, who seem to be living in their own world, oblivious to the needs of their fans or the desires of their fans. And the Vladimir Špunt story was emblematic of that, because he's this guy they hired to essentially put spells on the opposition while he watched them through television. I mean, that's total insanity. And I think it just showed up how absolutely inept they were as owners. It did not work out well for the Dodgers, and, you know, it didn't really help them win any ball games.
It was just one of those stories that, you know, we're taught growing up as writers, show, don't tell. And you could say over and over again that the McCourts were crazy, or that they wasted money, or that they destroyed the Dodgers. All you had to do was introduce them to Vladimir, and your reader says, oh, yes, no, everything that you could possibly say about these people is totally, totally true.
You like, don't have to tell me anything.
You could possibly make it. Yeah, no, I know. I have Vladimir, and I know everything. It's I don't know what you call those stories, like keyhole stories, where you look through this little window and you see the whole picture. That's one of them.
There's another story that I would like to mention, just because it seemed to me that it could have made it into a collection of writing about science as easily as it made it into this book, and that's The Tight Collar, which is David Dobbs' examination of the phenomenon of choking. Glenn, you're an old baseball pitcher. Did this essay teach you anything about choking?
It taught me why I was so terrible at it and why during the playoffs I could never get anybody out when it mattered. You know, I really wish I would have read a story like that back when I was playing more, because there are actually a few strategies presented in it that might have been useful. I mean, he talks about how, you know, golfers, when they're putting, actually putt better if they're counting backwards while they're doing it, because they're involving their mind just enough so they're not thinking too much about what they're doing. And that's a really useful tool.
That story, I think, will hit home for a lot of amateur athletes, where I remember the best round of golf I was ever playing in my life, and I'm a terrible golfer, but one day I was touched by the hand of God, and for my first nine holes, I couldn't miss. I was playing a professional round, and my brother at the turn said something like, well, the wheels are going to come off any minute, and of course, my very next drive, I shank, and I never got it back. And that story was just about the push, that little nudge that pushes you clear off balance. That story, I thought, was just a really good meditation on how fine the line between success and failure is in sports.
Chris Jones writes for the website Grantland, and his story, Breathless, which appeared in ESPN, the magazine, was chosen for this edition of the book. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Bill, and thanks for putting me in the book, Glenn.
And Glenn Stout is the series editor of Best American Sports Writing. Glenn, thank you very much for joining me again.
Thank you very much, Bill.